Are you familiar with certain TV programs and films where they do things non-linear? You know, you watch it, you kind of think, what's going on here? Then you realise that you're halfway through the story, then it says, oh, they jump back. Are you familiar with that kind of thing? Well, today, that's what we're doing, because we are in the middle of a teaching series called The Most Excellent Way, and we are looking at this here letter, 1 Corinthians. But today, we're going non-linear. Oh, yeah. Morning, Judy. We're jumping to the end. Chapter 16. Okay. So here's the Apostle Paul writing away. And there's three areas in chapter 16 that he covers. And they are this: giving money, some personal requests, and some greetings. So we're going to focus on maybe sort of 1 and 3. Hopefully, in my plan, it all worked. But we will see whether or not it will work here this morning. So, let's read this bit from 1 Corinthians 16. Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, there's no need for collections, they won't have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. So at that time, Paul, the apostle who wrote this letter, was traveling around and he was picking up some collections of money and taking it to bless the church in Jerusalem. That's what he's saying here. Now, he's giving them some very practical advice. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. That's quite logical, isn't it? Paul's that kind of a guy. Now, you might not know this. Paul has two assumptions. That's a big word, isn't it? There's two things that he thinks is in play when he's talking to this church about money. Here's number one. He expects them to give money willingly. He's expecting it, yep. So it's no problem for him to talk about giving money because he's expecting that as believers, that's what they're going to do. That's the first assumption. The second one is this, that the church, they had a continuous commitment to give them money. So they didn't just do one-off gifts every now and again, but in their heartbeat, in their rhythm, in the way they operated, they would give money willingly and they would have a continuous commitment. So that's part of the background to why Paul could then say, look, when I come, save some money up, and I'll take it down to Jerusalem. Okay, so there's the two assumptions there. Now, the interesting thing, as we saw when we started this series, is that Corinth, oh, that's the wrong button. There we go, Corinth is over here, yeah. It doesn't take much to work out that Corinth is not in Israel. I'm stating the obvious here, because Israel's over here. Corinth is over here, and there's going to be some rain that comes over here. I could be like a weather person, couldn't I? It's going to be a new front of wind blowing in over here. My point in saying this is not to do with the weather, is that his readers, those who read the letter, would not necessarily have been Jewish because they weren't in Israel. But he's teaching them and talking to them about giving money. That's our building. We are not Jewish. Well, I don't think we are. We have been grafted into God's people. So we can learn some things from Paul this morning. And that's what we're going to have an attempt to do on what it is to do giving. But Paul, the writer, was a good Jew. So he would have had the Old Testament scriptures to shape his thinking. So when he speaks to them in Corinth, he's got a wealth of knowledge as a Jew and God's ways regarding money. Now, Hope Kids, I need your help because we are going to try and explain to the church God's principles regarding money. Now, first of all, I need somebody to volunteer to just join me out the front here. One person, I'll take anyone. Anybody volunteering? Oh, yes, maybe in a minute. Good morning. And you are?
Adam.
That is most appropriate. Because we're in Genesis. there doesn't happen to be any ladies here called Eve now, does there? Because that would just be remarkable, wouldn't it? Okay, so, Adam, I've got something for you to hold here. Where is it? Oh, yes, here it is. Just show everybody what that is. Can you do some headers with it? Whee! He's got the whole world. Well done. Do you think Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were doing this? Okay, hold that up for me now. I need somebody else to come and help me. Somebody else. So, oh, yes, thank you. Right. Hold that nice and high. Can you read that, everybody?
Yeah.
Somebody find me that Bible verse. Somebody find me that Bible verse. You might even know it without having to look at your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, here it is. And Adam came on the earth. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right, somebody come and hold me this one. Yes. Somebody find this in your Bible. Come and stand here. Oh, got it? Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. Nice and loud, shout it out. Let's all hear it. Verse 1, yeah. Now let's read it, shall we? That's going to be one of those mornings, isn't it? One more and you're out. Right, one more and you're out. I do know how everybody, okay? Right, let's find the Bible verse. And you got it nice and loud. Listen to this.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters.
Okay, so Genesis 1 tells us that in the beginning, who created the heavens and the earth?
God.
Okay. Psalm 24 tells us, who does it belong to?
The Lord.
Right, the earth is?
The Lord.
Okay, the earth is?
The
Lord. So who does the earth belong to?
God.
Does it belong to us?
No.
No, it's God's, okay? So our starting point is God made it. And it belongs to him. That is our starting point. That is our fundamental starting point, isn't it? Right then, we are stewards. Now, I need two more helpers. You could just shuffle along over there and stay. Right, two more helpers. Any more? Come on. Here's one. And I need another one. Oh, yeah, come along. Now then, let's see here. Right, now, what we're going to do is put on you this and this. Now, you might need a bit of help here because I want you to put that on your head. Good morning, and put this on your head. Like, because you are going to be some Old Testament patriarchs. Yeah, I have no idea how you spell that. Now, maybe Diane, please come and help me. Just not used to putting on headpieces like this anymore. Okay. Now, we've got the earth is the Lord's. Diane will come and sort you out in a minute. There's another one for you. Okay, if you could do that. Now, in Genesis, we get to some characters. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah? Will you come across them? You come across them in Genesis 14 and Genesis 28. Now, we're not going to read all of those. Now, you can you turn around? You hold that one for me. Just turn around and hold that. Genesis 14, we discover Abraham. Genesis 28. Diane, what are you doing?
Sorry, it's a slippery rope.
It's a slippery rope, okay. By the way, Sarah, they were beautifully clean, so thank you for cleaning them after the live nativity. There you go, hold that up. Now, you also need this. Those who know your Bibles will know that Jacob needs this, doesn't he? Okay, you can hold that as well. So, Abraham. Here's something really, really interesting. Abraham, in Genesis 14, had an amazing encounter with God. He saw God at work. God helped him, and he went and rescued his nephew. God helped him to do that. And out of that activity where God helped him, it says that Abraham gave back to God. It says in the Bible, in this chapter, check it out for yourselves, he gave a tenth of all he had to God, out of the revelation of what God had done for him. Jacob is Abraham's grandson. His son was Isaac. and Isaac had Jacob. In Genesis 28, we read of Jacob who had an encounter with God. It's that stairway to heaven thing where he sees angels ascending and descending. Great song came from that, I think. And Jacob's revelation was, after he encountered God, he said, God, if you help me, I will give a tenth of all I have to you. So Abraham saw God at work, and his response, his heart response was, God, I'm going to give you a tenth of what I have. And he gives it to a guy called Melchizedek, who was a priest. Jacob had an encounter with God, a revelation, saw God at work, and he said, I'm going to give you a tenth. This was before God introduced the law. This was men of God who saw the Creator God at work in their lives, and their heart response was, God, this is all yours. I'm going to give a tenth. I'm going to give back to you because look what you've done for me. This is part of our foundation. It's a heart response to what God does. There was a comedian who said, and there's more. Okay, there's just a little bit more because we're just getting going here. Now, we then come in the Bible to the law books. Now, I need another volunteer. Any more volunteers? Oh, Phil Ashley, no, I wasn't putting my hand up there. Any more volunteers? Okay, we can start picking people. Oh, would you like to come and help me? Would Clem like to wear a wig? Would you wear a wig? No? Oh, bring your dad then. Dad can do it. Yes, come on. Yes. Okay, here we go. You're going to love this wig. You pop that on. Now, that bit goes at the back. Yeah, yeah. Look at that. Please get a photo of this. Oh, he's even looking the part. Order. That's what you used to be. So this is the judge. He's bringing the law to us. Now, can somebody find this verse? Leviticus 27, verse 30. Somebody find that for me. And then shout out the verse, not that bit. Anybody found Leviticus 27, verse 30? Oh, yes. Have you found it? Bless? Nearly. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Listen to this, everyone. Nice and loud. Thank you. Okay, so Leviticus 27, verse 30, God is given his ways of operating for the nation of Israel. And he says, a tithe of everything belongs to God. A tithe of everything from the Lord, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So he's saying, as God's people, in response to what God is like and a heart response, everything you produce, a tenth of it belongs to God. Now, what does a tenth look like? Danny, this is your moment to shine. I also need something from my bag because this is going to have to help me here. Who in this room likes pizza? Just the one? Oh, you don't have to be... Yeah, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I see those hands. Yeah, bring it over here, Danny. Saturday night for us is pizza night. Yes, even Sue Curtis likes a bit of pizza. Yes, Danny, yes. Is it cooked or is it a bit burnt? Is it all right? Okay, here we go. Thank you very much. This is hot. Look at this. Cheese pizza. Look at that. This is a real cheese pizza. I bought it and I had to put it in our fridge at home and I had to put a note on it saying, do not eat. I need it for church. Because in our fridge, there's certain things, if you don't put a note on it, it just goes. Yeah? Do you have that in your house as well? Okay, so we're going to work out what a tenth is. Wait, it really is quite warm. A tenth. Do you know what a tenth is? Right, we'll try and cut this up to see what a tenth is, and then we'll eat it, I guess. There's no point in having it go to waste, isn't it? So this, imagine this is everything. I'm going to try do a tenth. All right, so we're going half. So half is, that would be 50%, right? Yeah. So I need to cut one of the sections into five. Is that right? Help me here. Okay. Right, so roughly, I'd never normally cut a pizza half into five. This just doesn't work, does it? It normally goes straight across here. So I'm going to go, let's roughly go. Oh, it does smell good. So do you reckon that's about 10%?
Yeah?
That's good. Sorry, Lord, just giving you in your bit. Okay, so there's the tenth. Let's put that up there. Look what's left. It's quite a bit left, isn't there? Yeah? So giving to God is 10%, but we get the rest. But let's not forget, the earth is the Lord's. Does this belong to me? Well, it's all God's anyway, isn't it? But he asks us to give a tenth. So I tell you what, maybe would you like to cut the pizza up and just share it out. Share it out. Share it out. Share it out. Okay, I'll have my little bit a little bit later there. Now, I need another volunteer. I need one more volunteer. Who should we have? Would you like to come and help me? No, okay. Could you come and help me? I've got something for you to wear. Could you come and help me, please? Yes. Good man. All right. Okay, right, you get to wear this. Oh. Come over here, young man. Can you put that on your head? What's that? Do you know what that's called? Oh, that's a bit... Oh, dear, oh, dear. Let me make it a little bit tighter. It's an adjustable crown, always handy. I crown you... Yay! Come stand there now. Here we go, another Bible verse. Somebody find that for me. Can you hold that for me? So, King Solomon wrote the Proverbs, so he's a very wise man. Could somebody find and read us nice and loud Proverbs 3, 9 to 10? Thank you. All right. That's brilliant. So again, this was God speaking through Solomon. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So God's wisdom through Solomon was to honor God with your finances. Leviticus talked about giving a tenth to God. We see from Abraham and Jacob, before God gave the law, it was a heart response to what God's done. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and everything
in it.
I like that. Here's a little aside, the context for Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Just before that, in verses 5 and 8, it says this. So here's the context of giving to God. What does Solomon say? He writes these brilliant words. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. What's he saying here? He's saying, actually, the world might say some things, but it's Christ followers, Jesus people, ones who love God, we trust him first. We put him first and then see what God does. The last little bit from this section, I need somebody else. My one more person. Diane, you're going to have to help me. We've got another one of these. Honestly, at home, it sounded like a really great idea. Yeah. Would you like to help me? Yeah. Oh, Joy. Yeah, come on, Joy. You could, yeah.
It's just slippery material and silky, though.
Silky. Right, come on, Joy, because you move in the prophetic, don't you? So you are going to be what I like to call Malachi. But I believe it's pronounced Malachi. Is that right? But when you read it, it looks like Malachi, doesn't it? But this is Malachi. Malachi is an Old Testament prophet, the last book in the Old Testament. And at a time when, again, Israel was failing the Lord. Over here, Joy, hold that up. Can somebody find me Malachi 3, verse 7 to 10? Anybody find that for me? Thank you. A very interesting passage. So Malachi is calling God's people back to himself. That's what a lot of the Old Testament prophets are actually doing. They're calling God's people, you should be doing this. And they come with the heart of God to say, come back to God's ways. And in this particular context, they talk about money. And they're saying, we're robbing God. They say, well, how are we robbing God? And Malachi says, you're not bringing the tithes and offerings that you should be doing as God's people. You're not doing it. And therefore, you're not being blessed by God. And here's a very interesting verse. God says, test me in this. There aren't many verses in the Bible where God says, test me in this. But when it comes to the issue of money and giving to God, putting him first, my Bible tells me we can test God in this one. Honoring God with finances. Putting him first, because Proverbs tells us that's a wise thing to do. The law actually was saying to God's people, when you're living as God's people, remember, give a tenth of everything. Why? Because it comes out of a heart response of seeing God at work, because ultimately, the earth is the Lord's. And he's a good, loving God who actually wants to provide for us. Hope Kids, plus a few extras. Thank you so much. Give them a round of applause for helping. Thank you. Put them down. Put everything down over here. Dump it all down there. Dump it all down there. So a good Bible student, of which we are all learning to be, we've heard some verses from the Old Testament, but what we have to do is this. We have to look through the Old Testament scriptures with the lens of Jesus. That's what we should do. We should always be looking, what did it mean then? What did it mean to the people then? But as New Testament believers, we look through the lens of Jesus. What did Jesus then say about finance? What did Jesus say about money? A couple of years ago, we did a teaching series from the Sermon on the Mount called The Fools on the Hill. And it's probably the best place to look at what Jesus said about finance. He says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow, that's one of those punchy verses, isn't it? The things that we love more than anything else will then consume us. That will become the most important thing. That is where our heart will be. Jesus is going to the heart of the issue. We see that when Jesus speaks about murder, when he speaks about adultery in the Sermon on the Mount. He goes to the heart of the issue. What's really going on inside us there? Jesus goes on to say this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Then this is pretty blunt, isn't it? You cannot serve both God and money. That's like almost this one or this one. Which one is going to be God? Which one is going to win? I would suggest for us as churchgoers, as New Testament, as Christians, as believers, we want God to be number one, don't we? We want to serve him first and foremost, because that's what Jesus is saying there. So when Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthian church, he would have had all that history that we just saw demonstrated under his belt. He would know all about those things. He knew his scriptures. So when he speaks to the Corinthian church, he's got that in his thinking. So that needs to be in our thinking when it comes to money. Now, we are jumping ahead here. I'm going to give you a spoiler. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 8. Paul says, a bit more about money. He says this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously, well, they'll reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. I love this phrase. For God loves a cheerful giver. Hey, I'm giving money away. Woohoo! It's not mine. I'm giving it. Cheerful. God loves it. Why? Because when we do that, we are reflecting God's heart. We're reflecting his character. We're reflecting his nature. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good way. So Paul's heart was, be generous with what God has given to you, because God will bless. So what is the most excellent way when it comes to money? I would suggest it starts by understanding the scriptures. I want to encourage you to don't just take my word for what I said this morning. Go look for yourself. Go look for yourself. Come back. If I'm wrong, come and tell me. I'd love to know, okay? Come and check for yourselves. Look into the scriptures. Come with a heart and mind and say, God, I want you to speak with me. Because it's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of our heart before God. How we want to respond. For us, we made a decision many years ago when we got married that we would give God 10%. In fact, from what I earn, we give God 10% of the gross. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you that's what we decided to do. We wanted to put God first with our money. And let me tell you this. He has always provided for what we need. There have been times there hasn't been so much in the cupboard, but we've had stuff there. God has provided for what we need. And there have been other times when he's blessed us abundantly, so we've been able to give more. That is our story, that we put God first and he has looked after us. There are some people who think that giving money, we shouldn't decide that here in the church. And it is a heart issue. But the Old Testament seems to talk about 10%. Now, my understanding is the Old Testament is fulfilled by the New. Meaning, why would you give anything less than 10%? Because when Jesus talked about murder, he said it starts in the heart. So he goes deeper. So we don't murder, do we? It starts with being angry with somebody. So I would suggest to you that that's a minimum. We start there, and then we just go beyond as God touches our hearts. Very quickly, if you go to our website here, you can find about all the practical ways of how we talk about giving. And you can go there and you can look at that. Standing orders, online, card reader at the back of the church. And I know I joke about checks, but you know, if you want to write a check, we will take it anyway. We will take it because that is great if people want to give in that way. So I'm finishing there, and I'm just going to do a short prayer. I hope you've heard my heart today about giving. It's a response to God. Let us pray. Creator God, we acknowledge that the earth and everything in it is yours. We thank you for your love, your faithfulness, and your goodness towards us. You are an abundant God who has given us so much. Open our eyes, open our hearts and our minds to see you for who you are and to put you first in every area of our lives, trusting that you know and care for us and will provide for all we need. Lord, we thank you for this church and the many things we do together as a community, serving our town and beyond. Teach us to be generous with what you have given us. Freely we have received, and freely we give. As your people, may we give our money not as an obligation, but freely and cheerfully, in response to your goodness and provision. May it be used for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. And may you pour out your blessing upon every person here. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. One little practical thing. If you don't do gift aid and you're able to, please do. It simply means if you give a pound, the government will add 25p. So if you give £10, the government will add 2. A no-brainer, isn't it? So it multiplies already. So can I encourage you, if you're able to gift aid your giving, please do it. It just makes sense and it's no extra cost to you.